Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say they leave 52 weeks in a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what happened?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The Wednesday edition. I wonder if anything's going on with Keyshawn Nixon edition. The day two of Packers minicamp edition. And the, you know, when you have two guys that, while some may think should have gotten paid even less, take the kind of contracts that Christian Watson and Jaden Reed have chosen to take, gives you a lot of ammunition to be able to pay other people as well. Addition. I wonder how far away that Tucker Kraft extension is. Addition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need on the ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from yet another undisclosed location, which I'm sure will have an outstanding... Wow, an actual camera angle. Are you in an RV?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like an RV.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're moving around the countryside.
A little bathroom back there. Kitchenette.
Big bathroom.
I feel like I see the kitchenette back there. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Do you have like a ton of these? Is this like your new brand? Chase the dream, not the fame. That's the third day in a row you've worn this shirt.
Yeah, it's I have the blue one, the black one, the white one, the yellow one, and the red one. Yeah. I think it's an important message.
What is?
Don't make it about being famous.
Who said it's about being
doing what you dreamed of doing? Lots of people clearly make it about being famous, I would argue.
Give me an example.
You are famous.
Who do you have on that list?
Instagram models, Jesse Nelson.
But they're doing that for money.
List of people that like people.
They're doing that for money, aren't they? I don't think that's fame. If they weren't getting paid, they wouldn't be doing that. No?
No, I think they probably would. I think many of them would.
Really?
It is a means to the some like, financial
for a little bit of fame.
Would we agree most people would rather be super rich than super famous?
I would like to believe that. Sure, of course.
Okay. All right.
Can we chase the dream and the fame?
Yeah, you can have everything.
Like I could be happy and famous. That'd be good.
Where do you think you are? Where do you think you are in that process, Jesse?
I think I'm right on track for both. I think I'm doing great. I think I'm living life large. I'm pretty popular. People recognize me all about town. I think we're doing great.
Yeah. Well done. Good job.
Chasing the dream and the fame. Tracking down the dream and the fame.
Chasing engagement, chasing replies, chasing social media attention. That's me. That's what I'm doing.
Now, what I don't understand is you don't even do it. Cheesehead TV does it. You don't even want the virality. You say something again, you didn't even try to say anything. You're mumbling and stumbling, and Jess and I are looking at each other yesterday. You weren't on a camera. We're like, is he going to say – because I knew where you were going. You never text me, so I didn't know exactly. I know usually we'll do this stuff. You'll text like, oh, this is what's really going on, and then I'll kind of snake you through. You didn't text me the details of what your conversation was. You say something, and I appreciate our friends at Cheesehead TV popping it, putting the audio out. They get 250,000 hits on their website. I don't know if we even put it out.
It's kind of irritating, yeah.
I was going to say, if you're going to do you what you did
there. So you appreciate them doing that? No, that's what you're going with?
What do you want me to say? They did it, and it got engagement. This weren't an engagement business. You don't have to like it, but this is where we're at. And you ended up getting none of the fame. You didn't chase the dream, but you said it, and you had the repercussions of saying it that you had to go and talk to Keyshawn.
More people are aware of our show this morning thanks to Cheesehead TV cutting that clip yesterday. We appreciate them for it.
You'd think Jesse would cut the clip, but that's that's another conversation for another day. But continue, Jason.
So they didn't. First of all, if you go back and listen, I don't know, Jesse, do you have the clip from Cheesehead TV?
Oh, I
to
sure
play?
Do. Yeah, I do. Jeez,
now we have to get Cheesehead TV clips of our own show.
Do we have permission to use beautiful. Their clip of our show? By the way, appreciate them sharing this clip and getting hundreds of thousands of views. It is. We have a new logo, and then we got a new logo after that logo. They used the logo two logos ago. So,
So can we send Cheesehead TV our new logo?
Yeah, I think we should probably do that. Yeah, we should probably.
Jason, send that over to Nags in the group so that they have our logo. I love our new logo.
Yeah, brand new is awesome logo here. So we want to make sure we're using that next time.
As I said, Nagler. As long as I'm on this show, this will be our logo because it's a beautiful logo. Beautiful.
That's all. Just only a little constructive feedback for Cheesehead TV.
Otherwise, great. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Would you like to hear what Jason didn't say yesterday?
God, I hate you guys.
Can you please cite it from Cheesehead TV, though, and not from our own station?
Yeah, this audio courtesy of at Cheesehead TV on X.
Thank you, Aaron Nagler. We appreciate you.
Here is a clip. I think we have permission to play this from our own show.
No, shared by we don't. Cheesehead TV. That is beautiful. Can someone text them and see if we get permission?
Hope we don't get in trouble.
Run our clip from
Anyway, here it is.
You sound surprised. When you talked to Keyshawn Nixon last week, did you ask him anything about that?
I did not discuss it with him on the record, no.
Did you off the record?
I did not discuss it with him on the record, no.
Do you believe that he will be at training camp fully practicing if he does not get a new contract? Not from any source.
Great.
Do you believe
great
he is going to? Do you believe
great
he's playing
question
this season out with that deal?
I cannot say that with any degree of high confidence. I am still intrigued by that scenario, and still am skeptical that that is. It's just happy-go-lucky. All is well. All is right with the world, and.
So are you surprised he's here today?
Great no, question. I'm not great surprised. Question.
I'm going to tell
me
you,
again,
Jason.
Tell me again what
me
the big news is there.
You give me a lot of grief about not interrupting you. And not, I asked you a lot of really good pointed questions there. I think
about
the
an
new,
off-the-record conversation that you
no, but
knew
it was
I
on
wasn't
the record
going
too
to answer.
Yeah, I know, but you gave us a little something. You gave us a little something. I took away from that conversation that Keyshawn isn't going to just stand pat. That's what I took away from it. You didn't say it. I think there was some implications.
Right,
and by
which
the way,
is,
by
which
the way,
is
Jason,
the problem with this.
I understand.
That's the problem with this. I don't think he knows what he's going to do yet.
Okay.
That is my opinion.
Okay.
But I say something that later on, I noticed that Aaron Nagler, the grand poobah of Cheesehead TV, posted him saying something similar, actually about the offseason program. It was so long ago, which obviously Keyshawn Nixon has attended fully He's been there for everything, including the softball game
that Micah Parsons and
Jordan Love put on in Grand Chute. I don't know what he is going to do. I do know this, that we all know, including Keyshawn, why this happened. It was not because what I said was particularly compelling. I believe Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, who is mentioned in their tweet, had said months ago that he expected Keyshawn to seek a raise, which, by the way, for all those Packers fans, who I'll get to in a moment, who are not Keyshawn Nixon fans, if you don't like the fact that Keyshawn Nixon is your number one corner, that's not Keyshawn Nixon's fault. That's Brian Gutekunst's fault. So be mad at him. Secondly, the idea that so Keyshawn, someone from the PR department brought this tweet to him.
Okay.
After practice. And I, because relationships matter to me, being trusted matters to me.
Chase the dream and not the fame. Yep.
And because some probing Scott Pelley wannabe was asking tough questions about an off-the-record conversation, was put in a position.
Just for the record,
that,
he's talking about you. I don't want to be Tosh. Scott Pelley. Just for the record, he's talking about you. Scott Pelley. Continue. No, I know he is. I'm well aware.
This gets blown up, and look, I don't chase the fame, and I definitely don't chase social media glazing or attention. This was, I think we all know why this was done. And that's exactly what Keyshawn Nixon said to me. He said, we were fine. He said he was fine with what I said, but he said, you know why they did that. And I said, yeah, I know exactly why, because there is a segment of the fan base, which I don't know how large it is. It feels large, kind of like it felt large, the segment
Jason,
of the fan base.
You know why? Who did what? I just want to, as my Leslie Stahl slash more, I'm more of a Morley Safer guy.
I think of you more as a, never mind.
Andy, I knew you were gonna
we need to put a limit on Tausch's follow-up questions so Jason doesn't get in trouble anymore?
But who,
no,
what
I'm not,
Keyshawn,
look,
what did
I'm not in trouble.
By that?
Let me be clear.
Mean, what do you mean by that?
All right. Can I answer one question at a time, please?
I don't know. You always want questions thrown.
Yeah, usually you don't answer any questions.
That's true. This is this is like bizarro world today on Wilby and Tausch.
I mentioned how much I hate you two.
Clip of the day at the start of the show. What a weird dude.
Can't wait to get to practice. All right. So a couple things. First of all, the why they did this is Cheesehead TV. It is certainly. I'm not referring to you or Jesse.
I thought you were talking.
Although I have my
Packers.
Own.
Okay.
No. Secondly, and I said I know exactly why, and that's because there is a segment of the fan base. I don't know how large it is. Again, I do believe they're very loud. There's no doubt about that. That doesn't like Keyshawn Nixon, and this is chum in the waters of social media. Cheesehead TV put this on their Instagram channel, their Threads channel, their Twitter channel. It's everywhere. Mm. And the reason they did it, and Aaron Nagler and I have a very good relationship, but this did irritate me. And I did say it on the radio. I understand that. But you didn't do it because it was so insightful. It was not an insightful comment. What it was it was about Keyshawn Nixon that you knew was going to drive engagement. And that is exactly what happened. Like it, as of right now, it has 209,000 impressions. It has 151 likes, but 193 comments.
That's just on X.
Well, and that's just on X because people don't like him, and it gins up this dislike for him.
And if you look at all the comments,
you don't see a lot of replies of people saying, I think Keyshawn Nixon does deserve to have his contract improved slightly.
Yeah, squeaky oil and all that deal. But why is that, do you think? Why do you think people don't like Keyshawn? Because if you look at things, he's not like a real outspoken cat. I didn't love when he went and said he didn't want to return kicks anymore.
I don't think anybody did, including the Packers.
But as far as playing the cornerback position, they signed him to that contract being a kick returner, punt returner.
Yeah. Three years, $18 million.
And an occasional defensive back. He has done more with that than any. Like, he has been, for that contract, Packer fans usually will look at it and say, that's awesome. Like, he's given us a lot of play. And you're right. It's not his fault. He has called himself the number one corner. He's went out. And for a big chunk of this contract, he's been it. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be leaned on to be it again, unless Cisse really pops. Yeah, he gave up a couple plays against DJ Moore. It happens. I don't know why there'd be Packer fans that would be, you know, really irritated with him. It's not he plays hard. I know there's the viral clip of him on the goal line doing that. It's a bad look. I can't defend that. But for what we've paid Keyshawn Nixon and what he's done in the return game when he was doing it, and by the way, he should still be doing it, and how he's played the corner position, we should be sitting there saying, now, that doesn't mean he should get a new contract. That doesn't mean any of that. And by the way, mm-hmm. he should look for a new contract because he's 29, 30 years old. He's in the last year of his deal, and he's vastly underpaid. That's why I brought this up probably a couple weeks after the season was over. I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I would bet that Keyshawn Nixon isn't going to be happy with this contract, playing it in his last year when there's cap space, and this is the way it's going to go. It is very Elgton Jenkins-ish.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. The Packers don't want to pay older players. They've sprinkled a little bit with Frank, you know, trading and then obviously bringing in Hargraves, but that's where the Packers are at, and it's a very interesting topic. I think when you're talking about the number one corner on a team that you're expecting to be Super Bowl caliber, I think it's super interesting, and that's why I disagree with you on that it's not interesting.
No, it's not that the topic – no, wait a minute. Okay. It's not that the topic's not interesting. It's what I said was not interesting, which I'm happy to admit.
You don't like, want to be interesting.
It was
so
not
you don't
interesting.
Want to be interesting.
No,
it wasn't like the actual the comment that I made was not interesting.
It's painfully uninteresting.
If you make assumptions
long,
about it,
kind of juggling and like word salad. Like, I don't know.
Keyshawn Nixon had a 66.4 overall rating last season by Pro Football Focus that ranked 41st among 114 qualified corners. He ranked 35th in coverage grade with 67.8. His run defense, he ranked 40th. So look, he is not a top tier number one shutdown corner. But again, whose fault is it that he is their number one corner and playing on a 3-year, $18 million deal that he was a kick returner and a nickel guy when he signed?
Well, Jair Alexander, you could put it on Jair for not being able to stay healthy and all of the stuff that he's went through. Because the Packers signed Jair Alexander to be the best corner in the league. And unfortunately, that dreadful day against Pittsburgh, that completely moved his career in a whole different direction, unfortunately. And then that steamrolled into Keyshawn.
They signed Nate Hobbs, who, other than keeping us from talking to Keyshawn Nixon after the playoff game, didn't do much. They drafted Jesse's guy back in that same 2018 draft, Josh Jackson. That didn't go very well.
Should have been so much better.
They drafted Eric Stokes, who finally panned out apparently for the Raiders. Okay. And now they've gone to Benjamin St. Juice and drafted two guys in the second and sixth round at corner. I am not here to be Keyshawn Nixon's press secretary and tell you and spin how great he is. He has some shortcomings. I think even he would acknowledge that. But again, the idea of him being their number one corner at $4 million this year, I don't care how you feel about him, that is vastly underpaid, whether he should be or shouldn't be their number one corner. And if you think Brandon Cisse is going to walk in here as a 20-year-old kid and be a number one corner for a Super Bowl contending team, great. And if that happens, that is great news for the Packers.
Yeah, I agree.
But as of now, where they're at a corner, that is not where they are. And I watch practice, and it's Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine who are out there first with the ones. They've mixed some of Brandon Cisse in. They've got Benjamin St. Juice, who everyone seems to be very excited about his Pro Football Focus grade. The bottom line is this is a position that has been either neglected or mismanaged, and that's why Keyshawn Nixon is your number one corner. And I'm sorry if you don't like it, but that's the reality.
How did your interaction with Keyshawn go post Cheesehead kerfuffle?
Good. We were fine. I think he understood that I did not betray any of our confidences from our conversation. Again, I want to be very clear. At no point did he say, I am not showing up for training camp. I don't think he knows what he is going to do. I think he knows that he is underpaid. Now, if you recall last year, we went through this same dance with Elgton Jenkins, who was another player that I had a very good and still do relationship with. Again, he asked for the money that was already existing in his contract to have some of it guaranteed.
Yep.
And of course, the Packers said no. Why? Because whether he'd have broken his leg or not, they planned on moving on from him after the season. And all the stuff that Goody said about him being a potential all-pro center, I don't know if they believe that or not. All I know is they were not planning on keeping him after his 30th birthday. He can say that they don't have a line of demarcation at age 30. He could say all those things. But as you have made very clear to me, don't worry about what he says. Focus on what he does. And I think what he will ultimately do is probably not improve Keyshawn Nixon's contract.
Sprinkle.
I don't know.
I think there should be some sprinkling.
Well, I don't know if Goody's interested in that or not. Maybe he's interested in new windows with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, shopping for new windows and doors should never include haggling. Unlike NFL contracts and everything else, there's always going to be haggling. Not with windows and doors, especially when you go to Pella, who sticks to straightforward pricing, honest conversations, helping homeowners find the right fit for their home, and they don't use high-pressure sales tactics. When you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the same team that manufactures your windows and doors also sells, installs, and services them. Real pricing, premium quality, no game. Schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. Yeah, and I was listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm down in Milwaukee today, and Shefty kind of said the same thing you just said, Jason, because they asked about Keyshawn. And kind of that same thing, I don't think there's going to be any big moves as far as handling anything with that. That's at least from Shefty's point of view as well.
We will see, and we will see what his strategy is. I would, again, tend to agree with some of the people that were among the 193 people who replied to that tweet. I don't think he's got a whole heck of a lot of leverage. If he withholds his services, I don't know how that works out for him. But again, I don't understand. Like, this is not our money. And if we can't agree on the fundamental principle that he is underpaid for a number one corner, whether he should or shouldn't be a number one corner, then I don't know where else to go with that conversation, because that is at least reasonable to say. And if you don't think that's reasonable to say, I can't, in the words of Winston Moss, I can't help you. I can't help you by getting ready for Brian Bulaga. He's coming up. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. Sounds like someone's here to celebrate with us.
10 years with this show? Oh my gosh, what a run.
Wildy and Tausch's 10th anniversary is presented by Steinhoffels.
Greatest show on ESPN Wisconsin, period.
And this celebratory message is brought to us by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Hey, Wildy and Tausch, it's your friend Dan Kelly here. Congrats for your 10 years on the air. That's absolutely awesome. It's always great listening to the show, and it's even been a lot of fun being a guest on your show. We always had a predetermined topic, but rarely, if ever, seemed to stick to it. I never knew totally where the conversation was going, but that's what made it a lot more fun. And as you launch into your second decade, if you have a ribbon-cutting ceremony, I'm your man. Love you guys.
What a stud.
Yeah, I think Dan sums up how this show generally works. We may have a plan, but we rarely stick to it. I will tell you this. Dan Kelly is one of the most wonderful human beings that I've gotten to meet because of this show. Great, I don't think I would have known him without it.
Great bicyclist.
Like motorcyclist?
No, none of this. Like, listen, man, I am a proponent of the e-bike. I think it gets people out biking.
You're not what just a proponent of it.
What the e-bike has turned into is crazy town. The e-bike has turned into crazy town. Dan is an old school biker, and Dan Kelly saved
Greg
my
LeMond.
Life. Dan Kelly saved my life on a bike ride. I think I've told that story before, but not everybody listens every day. I'm on my bike. We're doing a lake loop. And Dan, wisely, as I was crossing an intersection, gave me the UW Credit Union stiff arm and stopped me as a car would have completely greased me had I not had Dan Kelly next to me. So, Dan, appreciate you.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate you, given how important Tausch is to the program. Just out of curiosity, why were you unaware of the approaching vehicle? Would have
kind of a blind
greased
spot.
You.
So I don't know the lake loop like Dan does. Now we've done that loop a bunch, not recently, which I think we're going to rectify. But I just missed it. I wasn't, you know, you're biking, you're having a good time, you're talking, and you sometimes the focus dripped for a second, and away we go. So.
Well, our celebratory one calls that all—that's all come from Gruber Law Offices. I don't know what your case might have looked like had that car run you over.
I would know
because it sounds like it would have been your fault.
It wouldn't have been my case, and it would have been Sarah's case because I would have been. I'm not even going to get into it. It would have been.
Please don't.
Well, you have back up.
No,
I. No, you did.
I'm just trying to get to the Gruber read, bro.
Would have been talking about one of our other partners if I'd been hit by that car.
Yeah. And my brother's
funeral home.
My brother's funeral home is what we would have been talking about.
Okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to just tell you that if you've been injured in an accident and it's someone else's fault, not yours, there's a good chance that you are entitled to compensation. And that means you got to make the call to get the best team on your team. And that is Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 40 years of experience winning for Wisconsinites. And you don't pay until they win. And they will win. That's what they do. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, or make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. We make the call on the Yuengling guest hotline to Brian Bulaga. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Our Crew.
Adding a guy like Scooble would certainly make you a better team. I do think that would make them a World Series contender because I think they are right now.
You're listening to Madison's home of the Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
Joining us now on the Yuengling guest hotline, Yuengling, America's oldest brewery, 197 years young, and six generations family owned and operated, and now available in Wisconsin. Saw cases of flight yesterday when I was at the grocery store. Yuengling, DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA, enjoy responsibly. Here's the guy who's always responsible. Time to talk to Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Super. I'm curious. You obviously spent a decade in the Packers locker room. Your contract situations were never super complicated, right? You had a five-year deal as a first-round pick because that was the year before the change in the CBA, right?
Yep.
And then you signed an extension that kept you here for another 5 years. And then they said, okay, thanks a lot. We don't want you anymore. Go sign somewhere else. And you did. You went to LA.
When you had other teammates, though, that were in kind of uncertain places with contracts, how did they handle it, and how were you kind of a supportive voice for them? Because unless I'm getting your financial journey wrong, you didn't face something like Elton faced last year or Keyshawn is facing now, where you're still under contract, but you're either underpaid or you have no real meaningful guarantees that the team's not going to move on from you a year from now.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the standpoint of going into final years and playing out your contract, I mean, I did that twice, right? I mean, clearly I did that in 2014. That was the last year of my rookie deal. And then obviously 2019, and then they didn't re-sign me. So I've gone through that experience, and whether or not you feel underpaid or you're producing more than what you're being paid, I mean, I guess that's in the eye of the beholder, so to speak, right? I think every guy probably that starts in the NFL and they're going into a contract here probably believes that they're underpaid. If you don't feel that way, then you don't feel like you're performing well, and you're probably not going to be starting much longer. So, like, that's, you know, there is a part of it like that. But, you know, when guys were going through it, like, you know, TJ went through it, Bakhtiari went through it, Sitton went through it at a point in time, Corey went through it, like guys that I played with, they would talk about it a lot. There'd be conversations in the meeting room about it, and you discuss, you know, you don't really discuss numbers and things like that, that, you know, their numbers and what they think they should be paid, that's their own personal business, right? Then obviously once the contract gets done, it kind of, you see what it is, but you just try to get guys to focus on playing their best football one game at a time. And if you can get guys to kind of hone in on that, the money's going to come, right? They're going to have, you know, they're going to have two options, the Packers, that is, or the team you're with. They're going to see that and really appreciate that and think those performances will continue and you'll get rewarded financially, or they think, well, I mean, if you're playing good football, that we're not going to be able to afford you financially, you're going to hit the market. It's one of two ways. Right. So, like, you just try to get guys in the head frame of, I know you want this done. I know you want financial security and contractual security, and you like it here and all that. But if you just focus on playing one at a time and playing your best football and grading out at a 90-plus percent every single game, like, you're giving yourself all the ammo, right? And because for myself, I went into contract years every single
time. Yeah, I got that wrong. But wait a minute, so I got that wrong. Like, you never, they did not extend you before your rookie deal ended, right?
No.
So that, you went through this exact thing. That was a bad job by me. Like, what was that year like for you? Because when I think back at your career, that actually surprises me. That I, forgot that, and B, that you had to play out that year and they didn't get a deal done with you sooner.
Yeah, I both of those were play out the contract year. And I think my rookie contract year, because I was coming off an ACL the year prior, there was a lot of nerves with it, right? There was a lot going through my mind early on in that season, especially when we go up to Seattle in that first game. And I get rolled into and I tear my MCL like immediately on the same ACL knee. Like, so I'm sitting on the sideline in Seattle as McKenzie's checking it. And I'm going, I blew this thing out again. And it took like a quarter and a half. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm freaking out about it. And then obviously McKenzie tested it and he's like, it's just the MCL. I'm like, oh, just the MCL. Thank God that can heal. But I think, you know, there's nervousness that goes into that, and that's what I think guys experience. If you get injured in that contract year, how that's going to impact you in the market. But for me, kind of once I got past that Seattle, you know, MCL issue, and then I sat out a week and I started playing again, I just kind of, to myself, just said, you know, like, they're clearly not going to negotiate a contract midseason. Green Bay normally doesn't do that unless you're Aaron or one of the big, you know, big names. I go, so I just have to focus on myself, and I just have to approach this. I have to approach it, and I didn't want it to be this way, but I have to approach it that I'm putting out tape for 31 other teams, and that's the way I had to go about doing it. I need to play my best football so 31 other teams can see how I'm performing at my best coming off this ACL rehab and everything like that. And that's the way I went about it in 2014, week by week. And that was one of my better seasons as a pro. So, Brian, with
that said, and there was big news yesterday on Cheesehead TV from Jason Wilde about Keyshawn Nixon, because he is the number one corner. And he's making well below market value for what that is in the last year of his deal. What? How do you think he should approach it? Because the easy answer is just go ball out, stay healthy, have a great year, and go get paid somewhere else. But there's a lot of risk that goes with that. How would you advise him if you're his representation, or if you're, you know, if you were Keyshawn?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw how they dealt with Elton last year, right? Like, and that's like first things first. Like, Elton was an important piece, was a good player, obviously changing positions, not sticking at corner like Keyshawn is. But Green Bay, if they're not negotiating, or they don't feel like negotiating, or they want to wait and see, like, they'll draw a hard line. So, like, my recommendation would not to be go into – or hold out a training camp or something like that. Like, that's not my recommendation, because I think Green Bay has shown, especially Goody, and Ted was the same way. Ted never, I mean, if guys did that, I don't ever remember a guy doing that.
Sours on him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like sitting out of camp. I've never, and listen, Ted, I love Ted, cause he hated training camp, cause guys could get hurt. But like,
right.
It was like, if you sat out a training camp, like, that's not a good, it's not a good thing. So I wouldn't recommend he does that. I mean, I know it's so cliche and it's such a lineman thing. And Tausch, you just said it. Like, I would show up and like show why you deserve that contract, why you deserve an extension, why you deserve a raise, so to speak. Right. And let those chips fall where they may. I get you're underpaid. Even I'm not talking about Keyshawn Nixon getting, you know, what the Rams guy they just traded for got. McDuffie, is that who that is? That guy that the Rams just traded for and re-signed?
Yeah, from the Chiefs.
I'm not saying like he should be banging on the table for that by any means, but like he probably should be compensated more for what he's doing and what he's currently making and his role in the team. But like, you're not going to get that from Green Bay by sitting out. Like it never really works that way in Green Bay. It never has, or at least I haven't seen it work from that standpoint. There's been players.
Jordan Love, it worked.
I mean, did he really sit out? Did he really sit out?
He didn't practice when he got here for camp that year.
He didn't practice last year.
And I always say it's the cases for the quarterbacks that are different than
right.
Like, hence why like Aaron would get a deal done midseason. Like, Aaron would get the extensions midseason. No one really got those. That's the quarterbacks are a different story. But to me, I just – like, you've seen great players go into contract years in Green Bay. I have. The Jordy Nelsons, the Devontae Adams. They weren't sitting out to try to request that money or get that money. They practiced. They did what they needed to do. And then normally they were financially rewarded afterwards for it. And if Keyshawn
would you have given Devontae the same advice you're giving Keyshawn now? Like, if in 2021 they don't get a deal done going into camp, and he's like, "Look, I'm not going to give up money. I'm going to practice." He ends up having one of the greatest seasons of a player who was in a contract year ever, right? And I think I would hope we can all agree that the line of succession at wide receiver would have been much more stable and logical had they signed him to an extension and not traded him. But would you have told him the same thing, or was he at an almost quarterback level where maybe he could have pulled it off by not taking part in camp that year?
I think he was at the level at that point in his career that he could have done that. Like, I think we're like, not Tay's first time at the apple, right? Not the first bite at the apple with the contract, but that second time around, where he was from a status standpoint as a wide receiver, like, he was a top five receiver in the league. Like he, and obviously mm-hmm. the way he went out and performed that year kind of proved it and showed what he was about. So like, yeah, I think he could have done it and gotten away with it, honestly. And I think it probably would have worked, but I just think Keyshawn Nixon,
and Keyshawn's not there.
No, yeah, I don't think he's there. But with the new D coordinator and another new scheme and things like that, if he performs well and plays well, Green Bay, we'll just put it this way, they don't have tons of options at corner. And then to say, oh, we're going to go back into the market and try to buy one or draft another one. Well, now that you're going, you're going to spend way more money in the market buying one, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you draft one again early, you're back at square one with, again, a very young room with not a lot of experience. So if he steps in, if Nixon plays this year and plays really well, I think he gets that reward. I think he gets that extension. And I understand there's risk to it. I've done it. A lot of guys in Green Bay have done it. A lot of guys around the league do it. It's almost like you bet on yourself. You bet on yourself that you're going to get it done and you're going to perform at a high level.
Blue, I agree with everything you're saying right there, but I just don't think if the Packers viewed Keyshawn as a number one guy, they would have paid him less than what you were talking about, some of these top corners, the guy from the Rams. They would have already done it, right? They've mm-hmm. done it with Watson. They've done it with Jaden Reed, where you get a little bit below the market rate for what those guys are. The Packers will tell you how they feel by how they operate with the finances. That's kind of how this goes. Is that a fair assessment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I think you look at where Keyshawn is on their priority of getting contract level done, though, right? Like, I think you look at guys that they're going to want to get knocked out first. And obviously,
Tucker.
Tucker is next. I think there's no doubt about that he'll be the next one in the pipeline to get his deal done. And then probably if they can figure it out with Keyshawn Nixon or not. I think that's kind of like it's understanding kind of where.
Do you think they want to? Do you think they want to? Or you think they're fine playing this out and then seeing where the market goes because.
And getting somebody else.
I don't think they want to have a 30-year-old corner.
He's 28 right now, by the way, just to be clear.
Okay, so he'll be – when is he 29?
I don't have for you.
All right, well, he's going to be he's at that age where you're not going to be sitting there paying top dollar for a five-year contract, right?
Yes.
It just feels like to me they're content with this. This is going to be – we'll play this year out, and if we need to, we can, you know – do some things in the next year or two, but I don't envision them saying he is our guy. He's our top corner. We're paying him top dollar for the next 4 or 5 years. And to keep him, I don't see that happening. I don't care what kind of year he has this year.
No, I don't see him getting like a 4 or 5 year extension. Like if that were to come to fruition, I think it'd be like a 2 year extension. Yeah. And is that what the player wants? That's kind of where I agree with you with Green Bay, how they're going to probably operate, right? If he performs well this year, which I think, listen, I think he can. I think he has it in him. I really do. It's just, will Green Bay look at that as like a two-year extension?
Yeah, Green Bay would Keyshawn. And the thing is, Keyshawn Nixon has been a real, I mean, for the value, he has been a great value to the Green Bay Packers for the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a great value.
Massive. Yes.
So when you look at this thing and he plays, you know, I know people on Twitter and on social media will say, well, look at that tackle at the goal line. And he got beat, you know, in the game against the Bears at Soldier Field. But for the most part, for what Green Bay's paid and how he's played, we should be saying that's pretty dang good. Great job, Goody. Now, Jason brought it up. Does that mean he should be the number one corner? No. Boy, but if he was the number two corner and everybody, and this was the case, everybody would be saying, that's pretty dang good. And let's sign him to a second corner gets, $17, $18 million a year for a couple of years. That to me would make a ton of sense. But He's declared himself the number one corner. He is the number one corner, and that muddies this whole situation. Keyshawn, the market will always tell you where you're at, and I think the only way Keyshawn finds that out is by playing this year out and then seeing how it falls. And if he does that, I just don't think it's going to be back in Green Bay.
I mean, those are very good points. Every one of them is a very good point. I agree with that. I think because, yeah, he has declared himself the number one and he wants to be paid like a number one and things like that, that is going to muddy the waters on this, right? And based on that cornerback room right now, he is the number one corner, right? Like that's just the situation that Green Bay's kind of put themselves in with how they've built that room up and the guys that are in and out and things like that. So that's the situation they've put themselves in. And I don't – if he was – technically the number two corner, right? And say this was a world we were living in when, you know, Jair was still around and Jair was the number one guy and he was just the number two guy. Yeah, I think he would be paid probably already, in my opinion, right? I think they would have worked out an extension for him already to get him, like you said, whatever that is, 16, 17, 18, whatever that number may be for those guys. And I think this would be a non-issue. But since you declare I'm the number one guy – There's financial tags that come with that, and I think that's probably too rich for Green Bay's blood at this point.
He should want that. If he feels that way and somebody else does, he should want that. Whether or not the league feels that way, Pro Football Focus would say no, but it only takes one.
Yeah, I'm not telling him to not shoot for the stars on this one. Like, hey, mm-hmm. man, try to get as – every single dime.
Chase the dream, though, not the fame, Blue. Chase the dream, not the fame. That's what a wise T-shirt once told me.
T-shirt once said. All right. Yeah. Matt LaFleur is going to talk here in a few minutes. So we're going to take a break with Brian. I'm probably going to leave while Tausch is talking to Brian in the next segment. Before we do that, need to remind you, I certainly felt like I needed to escape yesterday. And I could have just gone down to Milwaukee and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, where they have the biggest hotel rooms in Milwaukee, nearly 500 beautifully designed rooms and luxury suites that are perfect for a weekend reset, a date night, or getting away from social media. And you're just steps away from everything cool that's happening inside. And you know I'm always hungry, even when I'm irritated. And I would have had all kinds of great options. Dream Dance Steakhouse, The Marketplace, Rock and Brews, which has always been my favorite. Canal Street Cafe, Ruyi Asian Kitchen, and Cream City Coffee Company. And if I was planning a wedding, no. Anniversary coming up, though. Their event spaces are built to make it unforgettable. Sophisticated relaxation, incredible flavor, and a full night out all in one place at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. More with Brian Belaga next. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
You can't sit here and tell me that you're comfortable with the idea of the Green Bay Packers playing 8 games without Mike Parsons.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That's very uncomfortable. That's extremely uncomfortable.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Continuing with Brian Belaga, I'm going to pull a, and this will be a very old reference that I'm not even sure Blue will get, but Mike Myers used to have his character on SNL, Linda Richman, coffee talk amongst yourselves. And I'm going to give you a topic, and I'm going to listen on my walk to Matt LaFleur's press conference, which will be starting with construction surrounding him. In about 10 minutes.
Is the media auditorium still being built?
Why are they doing that?
I don't know why.
Must be booked out.
They're treating that auditorium the way you treat your snowblowers.
Yeah, it's the snowblower of auditoriums.
I believe Matt LaFleur, with talking before these practices, wants to already be down on the field, so I think it's more of a convenience factor for him than it is that the auditorium is not available. But here's what I want you guys to discuss, and then I'll...
That's an alpha move. That's a power move.
And then I'll hang... Tausch, I gotta go.
Well, go.
So here's what I would like... I'll hang up and listen. Lucas Van Ness had a very big day yesterday. He beat Jordan Morgan on a few occasions. He had one play where he got into the backfield so quickly that when Jordan Love tried to escape, he slipped and fell and then just curled up in the fetal position to avoid any serious injury that might have occurred. But I spent a lot of time with two former great right tackles in Packers history. I know better than to put too much stock in shorts, jerseys, and helmets, offensive and defensive line play. Nevertheless, when we're talking about a guy that we're going to keep a very close eye on at left tackle, and a guy that just got the fifth-year option for 2027 that they are counting on to be more productive than Rashawn Gary was when he had Mike Parsons on the opposite side. What, if anything, Brian Bulaga, can we take from something like yesterday, even if it's something itty-bitty, teeny-weeny, that we can take from it? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, sounds good. Listen, Taushin, maybe you agree with this or not. I don't take tons of stock in guys having a big day in OTAs. It's not really my, I don't know, it's not really my go-to, like, deciding factor if guys are going to have a big year. We'll just put it that way. It's probably the lowest thing on the totem pole for me. I mean, the only positive thing that I take away is that he's healthy, he's moving around good, he feels good, he looks strong, he looks comfortable in the new defense, and that's about all I take away from it. Do I think that translates to success when the season kicks off? Well, remains to be seen, right? What I don't like, and I'll say this because you went through a lot of OTAs, I went through a lot of OTAs, I don't like linemen getting beat in OTAs. Like, I'll just put it that way. Like, I don't like when O-linemen get beat in OTAs and DNs have huge splash days in OTAs. Like, to me, I just don't – like, I get if one guy is going at a certain tempo, but, like, you're the starting left tackle. There's not – that should not be happening. Like, if that makes sense. If I went out there in OTAs or you went out there in OTAs or Bakhtiari or Clifton and Clay was beating my head in like a drum and Clay was just getting sacks every other – play or pressuring Aaron every other play and Aaron was falling on the ground, I'd get chewed out and that would not happen again. like that's done. Like clearly I need to elevate what I'm doing in these sessions because it's not up to snuff, right? So to me, I look at it two different ways. Like we're both guys on the same tempo page. Was one guy going way less and one guy was going way more, or is Jordan Morgan struggling at that position? I don't know. But I don't take a bunch of stock into it, but I will say that I don't like linemen getting beat in OTAs. It just doesn't – it's not a good look because you shouldn't. You should not be getting beat in OTAs.
Yeah, so here are a couple things. I think from Lucas Van Ness's standpoint, you want to see these guys running around – showing their athleticism, hand slaps. It always irritated me when guys would just line up and bury their head in my chest and try to bowl you with no pads. That doesn't translate because with pads on, it's like, just bring it on, man. That's cool. I'm not real interested in doing it, but there is the competitiveness of, I don't want to get beat. I'm going to do whatever. If I have to tackle you with no pads on or choke you, I will do that. If you're going to keep doing that, I am not going to let you do that. So I did not watch the footage of it. The report that Jason just gave, obviously Lucas Van Ness had a good day because I saw Domofsky kind of saying similar things. And I don't know how much of that was against Jordan Morgan. I don't take as much stock in that. I agree with your assessment of I'm not interested in a guy getting beat 7 or 8 times. But if there's a bull rush or if there's something that happens once or twice during the course of a 2-hour practice, I'm not bothered by it because we all know, sliding around and moving your feet and doing your drills and your technique, that's what this time of the year is for. it's not about taking on a bunch of power and everything else. That is for pads, and that's where that translates. And most evaluators and coaches are looking at it and saying, yeah, that guy looks great. He's an all Hudson guy. He's an all Nitschke guy. He's an all Clark Hinkle guy. Those are all great. Mm-hmm. Let's see it when we actually throw pads on, which again only happens 12 or 13 times in the course of July and August. That's when it needs to show up, and then in games. But I am not remotely concerned about Jordan Morgan off of these reports. I actually look at it from the perspective of, all right, maybe Lucas Van Ness is starting to add some of the things that he needs to become a better pass rusher. It can't just be, I'm strong like a bull. I will bull you over, because you might get one or two of those in a 70-snap game. Good offensive tackles. Every good offensive tackle that I know can handle power. It's all the counters off of it that make the guys special. That's why Mike is so special. That's why Myles Garrett's so special. So I'm not overly concerned from Jordan Morgan's standpoint. Now, if the next 2 days come up and it's you have Sorrell beating him and everybody else, now all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's more the concern level that I would have from an OTA.
Yeah. I mean, and well, you're right. I mean, if it's a couple bull rushes, then that's not – no, that's not concerning to me. I mean, if the report came out said Van Ness bull rushed him twice and beat him twice, I'd be like, all right, well, that defeats the purpose of the drill. That literally defeats the purpose of what you're doing out there. It's supposed to be hand combat, working on moves, not just bull rushes and helmets. Like that's not the point of OTAs. At least in my opinion, that's why. It all depended on who you went against from the defensive standpoint of what type of work you were going to get that day. Honestly, like, I mean, if you went against a younger guy that was just bearing his head down in your chest, it's kind of like, all right, like this is, it's a little old. It's a little old right now, but I'm not, again, Jordan Morgan and how he progresses in OTAs and things like that. Like, yeah, it would be fun to watch and monitor and see how he looks and things like that. But even when they get into camp, right, and it's Packer versus Packer, yes, there's good information you can see with pads on. I'm more interested is when those joint sessions come about.
Yeah.
And you're with a different team and you're going against an actual opponent and those guys treat it as a game. During practice, like that's what joint sessions are. And that to me will be more interesting than anything is how is he performing in those? Cause that's how you're going to get your snippets of how this season will go, because that's how those practices are set up essentially.
Yeah. When you're looking at Lucas Van Ness, because again, Jordan Morgan, I don't even love critiquing non-padded practices O-line wise. I get why people do. But Lucas Van Ness and what Micah Parsons has had to say, I have to imagine that gives Lucas a ton of confidence. And what do you think he needs to do to go from being a big, strong Iowa Hawkeye alum and handling all of that to being that next level player? Because his floor is what it is, right? He's a strong dude who's a good enough athlete, needs to stay healthy. But what do you think he needs to do, and how much do you think he can lean on Micah to kind of maybe take that next step where he can be a 7-10 sack guy and really put a lot of pressure on opposing offenses?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the day, like, and I'm hoping he had learned this through his first few years in the league that, like, and you said it earlier, just running through tackles in the NFL just doesn't work. It's
what tackles want. What we want him to do.
It's not a way to win consistently at the edge position in the NFL. So, like, what I'm hoping that he's done, and obviously when Micah, you know, speaks highly of you and gives you that confidence, it should trigger in your brain that what I've been doing is positive and, like, I'm on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, what Lucas needs to develop, it is – and it was what Clay was so good at. I'm not comparing Clay to Van Ness at all. Please, like, I'm not saying that.
But clip
Clay was so
– Cheesehead TV.
Clip it.
What what Clay was so good at was shocking guys with a bull rush and how quick his second move was off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was a spin, whether it was a chop, whether it was a double hand swipe and rip. Like, Clay was so good at hitting guys with a bull rush and then redirecting super quick into another move, right? Like, and to me, that's what made Clay so difficult to block, is because
can Lucas do that? Can Lucas get that? Because you're right. The key is you use that power to get guys like us to set our feet and to anchor down. And then you get those quick hands, you get the rip where you have concrete boots on, because boy, I don't want to take on, I have to anchor to take that power on. That's why Clay was so good. Is Lucas Van Ness athletic enough to do those counters?
I see, and that's kind of where I'm hesitant to say yes, because Clay was a freak athletic.
Yeah, he
like
was.
He was an absolute freak show athletically. Van Ness is a different body build, clearly, than Clay, but he has to develop something of that nature, because his base moves are power. They're power rushes, whether they're long arms or two arm or just straight bull rush. That's his go-to, right? Like, that's going to be – but it's – can he develop one or two things outside of that to get him home more consistently? And, like, you're watching – like, he's not going to move laterally like Micah. Not a chance.
Nobody does.
Absolutely no way. Yeah. Nobody moves that way. But watching what Micah does when he does strike power and he drives for about two steps and then works something really quick off of that – that's what Van Ness needs to develop. After he starts driving with power, work, you know, an arm over or a rip or a chop off of it, disengage a chop. Like, it's striking tackles hard enough to get them, like you said, get their feet in concrete and then work moves off of that. And if he can develop one or two of those within this offseason, mm-hmm. into training camp and then to week one, he can easily be a 7 to 10 sack guy, in my opinion. I think he has that. And he's got the motor with it too, right? Which is very important. It's not a guy that just like, oh, I got blocked and now I'm just going to stand here.
I know you didn't say Clay Matthews, not Micah. Bosa? Who would you say, you know what, watch some film, because body type and moves, is it Hutchison? Who would you tell him, hey, this would be a good dude for you to study some of those secondary moves? Because – Micah Parsons could tell you, oh, yeah, no, that's easy. Just get him doing this and then use this and turn a corner. Clay, I don't move like that. So who would you say, if you're telling him, who do you think he should look at?
I think Hutch is a great guy to watch. Yeah. I think Hutch is a great guy to watch and kind of study how he sets moves up and how he hits moves one and, you know, hits his first move and then counters into the second. Like, I think he is a phenomenal guy to probably watch. Now, I don't know all their comparables and measurables and things like that, but you look at Hutch, he's a bigger guy, bigger bodied guy. He's not smaller like Micah, so to speak. Clay mm-hmm. was even a smaller body frame as well. That's not what Van Ness is, and that's not what Hutchinson is. Hutchinson's a bigger, broader guy. There's a lot of, we'll just say it, body to grab. So how is he able to shock guys and work off of that and work moves to get himself free and get home? I mean, yes, Hutchinson is a power rusher, right? Like, that is his bread and butter, just like Van Ness. It's power. Like, it is, he works speed on a wider angle into power, and then he straight arms and counters works edges off of that. Yeah. So, like, that to me would be a guy that I would study hard and see what he mm-hmm. does and see when is he hitting his power rush on his second step? Is he hitting it on his third step? And when does he hit his counter? Does he hit it on the fifth step? Does he hit it immediately after? Like, that would be a guy that I would study, because he's been doing it at a really high clip. And he even did it when he came back from that nasty leg injury. So clearly Hutchinson had to adjust his game after that leg injury, because he's not the mm-hmm. same exact person as he was prior, but he figured it out. And he still had tons of sacks last year, too. So, like, that would be a guy that I would study and watch. That's a perfect comp to – I'm not saying they're comparable players. But what I'm saying is, watch how these guys are making hay, essentially. How are they getting home and doing it so consistently, and you can learn from guys that are built similar to you and have a similar strength that is power rushing to work counters off of that.
Yeah, I just hope he has. I mean, he's going to have all kinds of opportunities once Micah gets back to go one-on-one, and that's where you need to make it work. And I think he's got that great floor. Now let's see where his ceiling is. Blue, always great stuff. Any World Cup? I didn't even know the World Cup is going on. Isn't that coming up here soon? Like starting tomorrow or today? Or you got any? You're our soccer guy. So any? You want to leave us with anything? Go for it.
Yeah, tomorrow opening night. I believe it's Mexico versus South Africa, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's the opening game.
Why wouldn't we open? Why wouldn't we have the U.S. open in this thing? Like, what are we doing?
Because we're not very good.
I know, but we're going to be. We'll watch.
Yeah, I mean, people would watch. I think when does U.S. open? Do they open Friday or Saturday?
I think they're Friday. I don't know for sure, though.
Yeah,
not a ton of buzz about this. I would think I'd know more about this because I'm a sports fan. Has not been very buzzy. Am I crazy to say that?
No, it hasn't been. And I think once the games get going and you start to see the teams that are playing well and separating, they'll be more juice. Now that they've opened the field up, I mean, there's teams that have no business even being in this because they've expanded the field that are in it, that it kind of dampens it down. It's like the NCAA tournament's going to be when they introduce more teams. It's going to be like, you know, does this team even really belong in this tournament? Probably not, but they like money and they're going to make as much money as they possibly
Bradley can. Might even make a tournament, for God's sake. Nice. Yeah, that's how bad it's going to be.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, potentially. All right, Bradley, yeah.
USA so and Paraguay, 8 o'clock Friday night.
Paraguay.
Yeah.
Who wins it, Blue? Give us your prediction. I'm going to go France. I think France wins it. Who you got?
I like France a lot. I think France is a little susceptible at the back. I think they can get got because their attack
can get got from the back.
Their attacking prowess is so good. They have such good attacking players that they leave themselves vulnerable at times. When they're getting countered. So that's why I like Spain. Spain is balanced.
España.
They play beautiful football. They're moving it around. They have phenomenal players front to back. I mean, I think Spain is probably my favorite at this point in time.
There you go.
And especially if they stay healthy during the tournament. Hard to bet against them. But France is, I think, it depending on how the bracket works out, that would be the dream final, in my opinion.
Okay, and there you have it. There is our World Cup breakdown, and that'll probably be about all we get till Brian joins us next week. Thanks much, Blue. Always appreciate you.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Just like I always appreciate being a UW Credit Union member, and for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here forever you, proudly serving Wisconsin. For over 90 years, they help reach your financial goals and give fees the stiff arm. UW Credit Union can help. No monthly fees and overdrafts that never cost more than $5. They'll save members over $12 million per year. Join today at uwcu.org, insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply. Jason is going to join us here shortly, but before he does, I got to talk to Jesse about this baby ballpark again and where the Milwaukee Brewers fit last night. Going to be quick. We'll do that in 2 minutes. Back on Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.